relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show that's all about love, sex, and relationships. Once a month, we focus on alternative sexuality, where we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. And listen, it's different for all of us. And for some, it looks a little extreme to the outside, and for others, not so much. And we're talking about kink, basically, and BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or we can just call it all the fun stuff, as Catherine says, yes. So my usual panel, it's been a while. You guys have been away, and then the holidays and all of that. But Catherine and Pierre is on the line with us tonight because he has called off to work. That is the first time that has happened, Pierre, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I'm not really happy about it, but I know. I'm glad to be talking to you guys.
But it's okay. At least you got away and from work, and you could talk to us, so that's
fine. I was listening to your introduction, and you seem always to be struggling with describing with what is kink, and you know that is
because it changes.
Like
it's
different. Evolves.
It evolves, and it's also different for different people. So when I talk to a certain group of people, for them kink means one thing. When I talk to a more conservative group, like you know, one spanking is like ultra kinky. So it's very different for different people. So it's very hard to define. In there was a time when it was easy to define. I'm finding it more difficult because so much of it is mainstream now. So
what, it is mainstream, but don't you think it's wonderful that there's so much diversity in, you know, in kink?
I have no problem with diversity, and that's the one thing in doing this show for so many years is that I get to hear the diversity of people, and because
that
I get,
true.
You know, and so we really get to explore that, and that's the one thing I've learned from people is that there's no one way. There's many, many, many ways. There's no one orientation. There are many, not just two either. There are more than that. So there's spectrums of everything, including activities.
Where does it stop?
Wouldn't you agree
too?
That there's more than one way to do the same thing either?
What's
I mean,
that?
There's more than one way to do any type of activity and sexual and sex in general. I mean, you can make love a certain way. You
right.
can make the same way you make love.
Pierre, I'm going to have to stop you as we need to go to breaking news and we'll come right back to you.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
All right, back to us now, and we'll get a lot more details later. So, Pierre, we were talking about, what was the last thing you said there?
Well, we were talking that there's different ways to do the same thing, the same activities, and it's a matter of style, a matter of liking.
Yeah, it's not even, but it's not the same activity. So if we talk about, people talk about sex, but what are we really talking about? You know, if we just define sex as many people do as intercourse,
well,
then
according to Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, that's the only sex that counts, of course, except that if you talk to so many practitioners of everything else, there's so much more involved in sexuality. And it's the diversity of sexuality, not just the different ways people have intercourse. Like, forget that. That's
exactly.
completely different.
Yeah, different type of relationship, different type of, well, me and Catherine were specialists in, well, what you call kink or alternative sex. And we see so much different things. This is what keeps us, you know, doing this because we're always learning or seeing something new all the time.
Some people have some really interesting and very bizarre and obscure kinks.
So even, and that's coming from people who are in the world of kink. So what would you say would be, what would you consider bizarre?
Here's an example. You know, you will have a male submissive who wants to be dressed in a feminine way, but it also has to be, you know, pink polka dot panties.
Okay. So very, very specific.
So a lot of times with clothing fetishes and things like that, it has to be something really, really specific. And often it's almost like a parody of what women would actually wear.
Right.
It's really like it's not just, I mean, you people think about the drag queens and stuff, but there's some really over the top, and a lot of them go for kind of the like, you know, the old mame. you know, with the like the gloves.
It, yeah, but, the old, but like the old fashioned.
Yeah, but not even so much the glamorous with the over the mm-hmm. elbow ones. You'll see like the little
dainty stuff. Little, you're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you do see some of that that extreme. I think to me, you know what.
Usually 90-year-olds.
But when I think of now, people often ask me, you know, what's the weirdest thing? What's the craziest thing? It's very difficult to come by now in terms of what's crazy. Like, I know there are like crazy stuff. Like I was just watching The Fall. I don't know if anybody watches that show on Netflix. Just started it. I'm so intrigued because there is necrophilia in it, but not exactly necrophilia. And that to me is the grossest. Crazy. I mean, it's illegal. Forget the fact that it's you know illegal, but you wonder how does even a person
how do you even get
you're right. How do you even go there? How do you even go there? How do you get turned on
at
by death?
At what point?
Right.
At what point?
Right. So you know that's to me an extreme.
but this is where the problem lays, because what is too much or too extreme, and what is okay nowadays? You know, with the. Because everything seems to be becoming mainstream. For instance, furries were something that we would not see much in the past. And now we receive a lot of email from people that are in furries because they're trying to find
Tell our listeners, Pierre, what a furry is before you go on with that.
Okay, a furry is somebody who likes to dress in a, usually it's an animal outfit with a lot of fur. Mm-hmm. Why we call them furries. And they like to not maybe make love and to them, but at least get aroused, play around with other people that wears furries, you know, men and women. And this is something that, I don't know, I'm a fetishist and I'm struggling with that one.
Oh, really?
your wife is wondering about that.
Really? Well, I don't have a struggle with it because it's like, you know, humans in there.
Okay, but it is kind of weird. Like, well, there's something really odd about
it. Okay, yes and no. Now, to be clear, there's nothing that I find exciting sexually about it. But you know what? After going to certain theme parks and getting a hug from, like, mascots and stuff.
Oh, gee, don't I start can telling
see,
me.
No, but I can see that there is, like, a... you know, it was enjoyable. It felt good to get hugged but it wasn't in a sexual
Catherine,
way.
Exactly. Getting hugged by Mickey Mouse, who's a childhood, you know, character that you love
well,
and grew
true,
up on.
But I can see how...
You want to have sex with Mickey Mouse?
No. Well, no.
Okay.
But I can see how the affection would be, that people could get, like, enjoy the affection and then kind of take it a step further.
Okay, but it's the turn-on part that's kind of...
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like, I'm turned on by you dressed in a bunny costume, or I'm turned...
I am not sure, but maybe Catherine has something, because we never really talk about this, me and Catherine, because we talk about so much of her stuff. But I think she's right. A lot of people that are into alternative sex, because something is lacking in their life, and often it's like emotion... being cuddled, having somebody loving them. And right now what she's describing about furries, I think she's nailing it right now.
Right, so it's about the affection and the good feeling.
I think so. I think that's probably part of it. And then part of it, too, might be going outside your persona.
Unless it's Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, boy. Okay, Jessica. I mean, you know.
Remember when they did that movie?
She can't help it if she's drawn that way.
Yeah, exactly. That started the whole thing, I think.
Oh, I think so. It's fabulous.
But there is, the reality is, there's a whole group, thousands upon thousands of people mm-hmm. who go to conventions,
yep.
who have sex with other furry looking people in costumes who do all of that. So clearly it's not so rare. There was a time 30 years ago, 25 years ago where it was unheard of, but they were still there. And now is when, you know, because we have access to it, see it. So we'll come back to alternative sexuality. If you want to talk about furries, BDSM, any other kink, we're here. You're listening to Passion on CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality, the night of the month where we focus on all things alternative, sexually speaking, of course, nothing else but that. And we are talking with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com, and that's your go-to basically your go-to place for any questions you have. You've got 1,000 pages on your website, if not more now, with all kinds of information. So I know I've sent people your way, and they're all very happy with all the information that they get. So
thank you
for taking care of my peeps and our listeners in that way, because I know in between shows you get people asking you questions, and they're very open, very, very open to talking to people who are newly going into this area and they want to explore. They just have questions. Pierre and Catherine are just, you know, gentle, wonderful, kind people who are very helpful. That's what I can say about you guys.
Okay, not always gentle, except when you're a dominant. Yeah, okay, that'll work.
But you see, people would never know it because you really are such a gentle soul. It's just a role you play, Catherine.
No, I'm pretty dominant. I'm pretty dominant.
I'm not saying
I have my moments. I'm a nice person.
You're a nice person, a much nicer person than you think.
You know, I'm not actually always the evil, you know, dominatrix.
Right. Exactly.
But I do play that role well.
When Catherine dominates, she dominates.
You would know it. You would know it, Pierre.
No.
No,
okay. Actually, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't? No?
Only
you don't
by
dominate
watching him? No.
Oh, okay. No, so he's the only one you don't dominate.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're married to him, but you don't dominate him.
That's right.
I'm often around for safety, but usually she does her thing with her sub, and I do my thing with my subs.
Okay. So it's interesting that two dominants marrying together.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Everything can work. If there's love, there's always a way.
I bet you the sex you have between you guys is more vanilla than the two dominants. Two dominants having vanilla sex.
Well, there's nothing wrong with vanilla.
Of course there's nothing wrong with vanilla.
It's like, you know what?
I love vanilla.
It's a great flavor. I just don't want just vanilla.
You like to have a little coating.
I like to have a little bit of Neapolitan there, eh? That's it.
A little coating.
You know, throwing some pistachio once in a while.
Mm. Yeah. Meat and potato is fine, but sometimes you want something a little like a steak or pizza or something different.
Or more exotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, what's interesting is that when you talk about people's tastes and people's food, there are some people that will not venture out of their comfort zone when it comes to food. They will not try new things.
Nope.
They are very resistant to trying new things. And I think it works in the same way with sexual taste. And we don't realize that this is about tastes. This is about, you know, sometimes pushing your boundaries and sometimes no way. Like some people say, there's absolutely no way I will never eat shrimp or I will never eat whatever it is. And you can't convince them.
Yeah.
Right. You can't convince them otherwise.
But so, you know what? We're like that too. I mean, you know, I try and cook at like a new recipe every week. Okay,
sexually speaking or food speaking?
Well, for
speaking,
food. Okay. For food. However, excuse me, sexually speaking too. You know, we like to try new things and
get creative.
And sure, of course. And some things you find out you like and some you find out you don't like.
And some of us just want meat and potatoes every night.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I like meat and potatoes
at least
too,
a few times a week.
No, but let's hope.
514-800. If you have questions for Pierre and Catherine at BDSMCircle.com, tonight is the night. 514-800 to text in or 514-790-0800 if you have comments or thoughts or anything you want to talk about when it comes to kinky sex or any questions of the sort.
Well, we've had a couple questions lately
okay.
About some of the slightly more advanced things.
Like
what? Yep. Like they'll say, you know, my wife and I or my husband and I, you know, we've decided that we want to try BDSM, but now what? I'm going to be the dom and she's going to be the sub, and now what?
How do they even make that decision?
I think just kind of by what, you know, they've talked
their
a little bit
right?
and their personality and what kind of, you know, stirs them.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, the first things you want to do is you kind of got to figure out like a goal of the play.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, is it just so that you both have a good time?
Right. Obviously, the goal is to have a good time.
Well, yes, mm-hmm. but it might be actually that, you know, she wants to learn how to take bondage differently or you
want to try a new way to do a knot or do something.
Mm-hmm. You know, it could be that the dom is practicing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we have to practice.
Well, shouldn't you to do it safely?
Well, yes, but okay. I mean just by practicing some of the knots and things like that, right?
I wouldn't want just anybody knotting.
Well, no, but
right,
you
yeah,
know,
you got to
still
be able to get out of these things.
Restrained.
Yes, but hopefully you also still have things there that you can cut.
That would be good, too.
It's a safety thing.
That would be good, too. More with Pierre and Catherine at BDSMCircle.com. If you have questions, send them our way. You're listening to Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sexuality tonight, or kinky sex, whatever you want to call it, but where we stretch the limits a little bit, where we talk about things that maybe, I'd say, not a huge portion of the population engages in yet. I know you're giving me the eye, Catherine. A lot of people may not necessarily admit to a lot of these behaviors.
That's important.
And also, a lot of people may not realize that they're engaging in what we would normally call some BDSM or kink, maybe in a very light format, but that they're engaging in it nonetheless. If they were to take a look at their own behaviors, they might see, oh yeah, I like to be dominant, or I prefer to be submissive, or even though they don't practice it to the nth degree, which could evolve over time, right? So you don't just start at the top.
Well, exactly.
And that's extremely important what you just said. We were giving you the example of experiencing or trying some new nuts. You don't do something like this, let's say, when you're in public with your submissive and you work with nuts that you're not comfortable with and create some situation that could be risky. You have to practice at home where you control everything, where you have scissors and maybe a knife to be able to cut the rope off if something bad happens.
True,
you know?
But you also don't start off, you know, you start off really basic to start off.
How did you start off, Catherine? Can we ask?
Do research.
How did I start off?
Yeah, how did you guys got it? I want to ask both of you that question.
Well, I have always been kinky oriented.
Well, yes, but that...
And so I basically found vanilla people until I found somebody who wasn't vanilla, and then I went, oh, that's what it's...
It was actually the exposure to somebody else who introduced you to things.
It was, but I kind of like tried to get people to do these things, but you know, I started off as a on the bottom part of it, right? So
what was it? What were you looking for? What kind of stuff were you looking for?
Bondage, S&M.
Okay, so it was being tied up was the thing that was the first thing you looked for?
Well, no.
Oh, you're so cagey. All right, you know what?
Well, I'm a pain slut, okay? I'm a pain slut. How's that?
You like pain, or you like giving pain?
Well, now I like giving pain.
But you used to like receiving pain.
I used to like receiving it.
Isn't it interesting? So that even that changes. You know what? Coming up, you're not getting away with it, Pierre. You're going to have to tell me the same thing, how you started and what you liked at the beginning. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the news. And if anyone wants to share their stories with us, we'll hear them too. Although, you know, I get it's not always easy to expose oneself, so to speak, but we're here to listen. It depends what your kink is, exactly.
Yeah, we've been to public ourselves, so
yeah, and no pictures, please.
Oh, no.
You're listening to Alternative Sex here on Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Let's talk about alternative sex actually tonight with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. So if you want more information during the week or what have you, want to explore a little bit further, you can always check out their website. So we were discussing the different kinds of questions you're getting. And one of the things that you were talking to me off air was that the kink wear. Like, what do people wear? What is that?
Exactly.
What's a kink wardrobe anyway?
So
Latex is very big.
Yeah.
And we're noticing right now that there's something new called cosplay, which is not really sexual, but which is really, really sexy. And you see them and all the show about cartoon and
like the cartoons and the Comic-Con stuff, right? Those are crossing over to BDSM role-playing.
Okay, but what are you talking about? What's
the cosplay?
Yes,
but the ones that are specifically for like anime and that you'd see at Comic-Con, the comics and the... So
you mean dressing up as your comic book hero person?
Yes, okay. And that's crossing over into BDSM now.
Really?
Yes, because it's role playing and fun, and you know,
Wonder Woman.
Exactly. You know, she did have a rope.
And she had a rope, and she had all kinds of stuff. Ooh, could she get the bad guys?
And you know, people were trying to look up her skirt in that invisible plane.
You know what? When you put it in a different context, like you can see how long it's actually been around, and you know, I mean, you could see the crossover,
exactly.
You know, from comic book and to sexy and, something.
Okay, one of the things we get asked too is if people are going out and they want to go out to events or things like that. If it's a munch, you just wear vanilla clothes. But if you're going to be going to a nightclub or stuff like that, for guys, you can pretty much get away with all black.
Okay. Nothing else? I mean, just all black clothes? It doesn't
matter? All black, not right, leather. Leather, absolutely. But when you start off, you might not have leather pants. So, so you know, all black
right.
from head to toe gives at least a look a bit. For women, there's you can eBay. You can get corsets pretty reasonably.
So corsets are the dress of choice, the wear of choice?
Usually. Mm-hmm. Usually a corset because, I mean, it's pretty much flattering for any body size or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of makes the best of what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Leather, of course, is great. And if you can spend more, you can get like the ones with the heavy...
There's people who spend a lot of money. I know when we go to the Salon de l'Amour and they've got all these...
Oh, yes, but that's like four or five times and I would pay for the same thing.
Okay, so you know where to shop, right?
I guess
you know where to go.
You know.
And well, I know that there's a woman who sells for a larger sized... who sells the corsets for mm-hmm. larger sized women, Bonnie's Bedroom. She's there almost every year. And I remember interviewing her because she's one of the few that does plus sizes, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, you can go online mm-hmm. into eBay now.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you go by your waist size and your natural waist size normally. So what you would do is you get yourself naked and you go at the smallest part and you measure there.
Okay.
And then you go maybe 2 to 3 inches bigger. But if you read the instructions, they'll show you how to order them.
How to order a corset.
And how to order the corset. And you can put that with either leather pants or a skirt or even jeans. And it's a good way to kind of get into it. Most people look good in a corset. Most people like it. There's all sorts of different styles. So you can go really burlesque or you can go...
But that's not... To me, that's not kinky. To me, that's not...
Well, it is to most people.
Really?
Yeah. That's like the kinky
I find
wear.
I just find that like with a nice
wear.
Jacket or whatever, that a corset, not, like a bustier kind of
yes,
thing
exactly.
is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but you're probably not putting stilettos with it.
No. Right. So those, you know, it's, all,
and,
it's,
and
with the, it's with everything together, right?
And, yes.
Right.
You're talking about corset. You know, there's the what we call the steampunk movement that is kind of... They're kind of talking about 1900s, trying to relive the way that the 1900s science fiction was.
Mm-hmm.
And corsets are very, very big with the ladies that are into this movement.
I just find it interesting that there's all these movements around that we don't hear about unless I talk to you.
This is why they're kind
of steampunk? You must have heard of steampunk.
No.
Seriously?
No.
Oh, you're kidding.
Sorry.
Okay, well...
I'm not that plugged in, clearly.
All right.
I don't know. I count on you to fill me in, you know? That's the reality. So what are some of the other... Do you get a lot of safety questions? Like a lot of danger questions?
We do. Most of them are common sense, believe it or not.
Well, to you, maybe.
Well, you know what? Don't leave somebody alone who's tied up or helpless.
This is really important.
You think that would be pretty common sense? And
you would
real
think.
Basic.
Yeah, well, we also know of people who have died. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So not
you know,
so common sense to some.
Cleanliness is a big deal.
You mean like good hygiene?
Well, good hygiene on your body, but also with your toys and your equipment and things. If you're going to be going to a place that others play, you need to make sure, you know, a lot of times you would clean it before you use it if you don't know what the establishment does. You know, there could be some nasty old body fluids on there, blah. You know.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, things like that. And what to clean, how long to actually, you know, a lot of people, like, even if you see them go into a washroom, it just kills me. Because they go, they basically wet their hands, throw some soap on, and they're done. And, right. like, you're doing nothing.
Right.
Lather that for, like, 30 seconds. We want to see the soapy stuff.
A little OCD,
seconds.
Huh?
But you know what? Well,
no, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. Hey. Listen, especially when you're dealing with people's bodily fluids, I'm sorry, but.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That would not make me comfortable at all. But
if you have many partners, you have to learn how to clean your toys, to maintain them. This is really important, again.
You know,
there's no question.
I'm really favoring glass dildos these days for the,
what,
the glass
they go into the microwave?
Well, they go into the microwave.
I mean, the dishwasher. I should say.
Well,
right.
Yes, but you can also do the whole cold and warm thing, which is always
the
fun.
The sensation part of it, right?
Yeah, so that's always fun.
You know what?
I don't want to get clean.
I don't want to think Pierre got away with it because I forgot. So I just remembered that we asked the question. So we were saying how nobody really just starts off with the extreme, like, you know, say in 50 Shades of Grey kind of extreme. Most people start off slowly, no?
Actually, this is the problem of the movie, because some people see the movie and go, oh, that's easy, I can't do that. And this right. is where you have accidents.
Well, that's true. So what did you, so let's get personal here, Pierre. What did you start with?
Well, you know, I'm a bit older, so I started way before the internet existed.
Right.
And I can tell you at the time, it was really, really hard to find groups or people that was into the, well, it was not called BDSM at the time, too. BDSM is an invention from the internet, okay?
What was it called?
S&M.
It was called Domination and Submission.
Or S&M.
Or, yeah. You know, it was, basically, it was, this is the way it was called. And in Montreal, in the big center, there was some very small group, very close group, and it was really, really hard to get into them.
Right.
And when the internet happened, basically the BDSM exploded because a lot of people were trying to get into these groups. They were not allowed to be part of these groups. So when the internet happened, well, people started to do their own thing using the internet.
Right. And so, well, this is, the internet did wonders for all groups who were remotely kinky or into things that were not mainstream. I mean, it's incredible how many people how many people found each other and
absolutely.
Realized, I'm not alone. Oh my goodness, I'm not alone. We are talking about alternative sexuality and kink tonight on the program with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. More to come with my guests here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sexuality tonight. Once a month, we focus on things that just fall outside of the margins of vanilla sex, if you will, with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. We got a question by text of 514-800. What if I want to be submissive, but it turns my wife off?
That's a regular question.
Is
we
it
have.
Okay? So what do you do?
Well, this is where negotiation is so important.
Well, if two people are supposed to enjoy the experience and it totally turns somebody off, how do you even negotiate that?
Well, maybe you should go out of your relationship to have this.
Ooh, but what if
it's a biggie, this one?
Well, it depends, because you know what, you can have limits, you know, maybe no sexual intercourse, or, you know, I mean, whatever.
You mean by going outside.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe you want to be whipped or tied up or dressed a certain way. And it's one thing if your partner is kind of, it doesn't really turn me on, but it doesn't turn them off. It's another thing
right,
if it
I
turns
so.
Them off.
Right.
If it completely turns them
you.
Off, you know what? And they find it repulsive, then they're better off not to try and do it with you.
Because then they have that then that's what they attach to you, right?
Well, that's right. And it can be a really ugly experience for them, you
okay.
know. But, you know, sometimes if it's not something that they find, you know, repulsive and they're just kind of like, you want to what? Oh, well, yeah. Maybe.
Well, I'll do it if
so
it makes
bad.
You happy.
Exactly.
Right. That's very different than somebody who's because I have actually heard, you know, from women, from women who are turned off by the idea because they want a man to be manly in bed, take charge, not necessarily mm-hmm. dominant, but take charge. So that's exactly the opposite. You know, exactly. It makes them feel like, ew, it's not, that does not do it for me. Exactly. I cannot do this, you know? So what, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? And what if going out of your relationship isn't an option? Could somebody live without ever doing
that desire?
Well, maybe
they're going to dress by themselves. You know, there's a lot that will, when nobody's home,
they're going to whip themselves?
Well, yeah. There's people who do that and do self-bondage and do...
For many, that's enough for them. It satisfies their need that they may have.
Self-bondage? What are you talking about?
Yep, self-bondage.
They basically tie themselves up.
Tie themselves up and then what?
And then it could be like a series of timers or things that will release themselves at a certain time.
Okay.
Yeah. It's usually quite dangerous.
I've never heard of this.
This is, you know
what? I've heard of the autoerotic asphyxiation, which is a little dangerous.
No, this isn't the same thing at all. It could be just to have their hands tied behind their back or that they're in a cage to a certain time or things like that. It's actually fairly common, and a lot of bondage people will start that way.
Alone. Yep. They don't need a partner. They will do this by
themselves.
They'll
do that themselves for years.
Until they find a willing partner, I suppose.
Yes.
Exactly. Until they're ready to have a partner.
I learned something new. Okay. Interesting. Very fascinating.
Yeah, it's actually fairly common.
514-800. I didn't realize it was that common, which is...
Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm.
People don't boast about it. They don't say, I like to do self-bondage, you know.
It's like masturbation.
Right. it's a bit, there's a taboo part of it.
There is a little bit. Like a lot of people won't talk to you about it right off. But if you actually sit down and talk to them, a lot of bondage aficionados started off with self-bondage.
Goes back to the original question, right? Which was, hey, what do you start with? Yeah. And there you go. So doing it to yourself, for yourself. Yeah, come to think of it, I think I've certainly heard about men who tie up their testes, for example, their testicles, and do things like that for to get their own pleasure. Yeah, for
CBT.
Their own satisfaction. CBT, which is not cognitive behavioral therapy.
Well, it is behavioral therapy. It could
be,
but it's not quite the same.
No. You can make it out. Figure it out, guys. Figure it out. You're listening to our kink show, basically, tonight on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program. One last question for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM. Circle. Is it wrong if I'm enjoying toe cleavage if I'm married? Toe cleavage? Okay.
Oh, wow. That's an old one.
Okay. Catherine, toe cleavage. What's toe cleavage?
Toe cleavage is when you can see where the toes start, the little crack between the toes.
Yeah.
When you've got your shoes on.
Well, hold on. So you have to have closed shoes. I'm looking at I'm wearing sandals. There's no toe cleavage on sandals.
Well, there is if it's above or below. So, okay.
Okay,
so,
Catherine, you've got to talk into your microphone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right.
I guess showing
Don't
you
show
really
me
is...
your feet. It doesn't really work on radio.
Well, it's basically, it's the space between your breasts would be cleavage. And the space between your toes is toe cleavage.
Okay.
So if you
which
have
you see in a pump usually,
like
right?
in a pump,
right.
But in you know sandals, you're seeing a lot of toes and a lot of feet.
You're seeing a lot of toes. You're so not seeing those are for the foot fetishes.
Yes.
Foot fetishes love
summer.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their heads are always down looking at feet.
And actually, there's a lot of different type of foot fetishes. Out there, and some prefer boots, some prefer sandals, some prefer high heel. I mean,
big feet.
Big feet. Small. Yeah,
and
true.
Some prefer and some prefer toe cleavage.
Yes. Yep.
So I didn't.
Or
really,
dirty
so,
feet.
Or dirty.
Some
feet.
Like dirty feet as well.
So that what you're saying is it's not just a foot fetishist. There are many different variations.
Exactly.
Of a foot
it's
fetish.
Like sissies.
And all the fetishes, it's not always black and white. There's always, like you said, variation.
Oh, well, that's another fetish.
Right. So there's always a variation. What's the other fetish, Catherine?
Sissy. Oh, black and white. There's sissies. And sissies.
What's a sissy?
It's a specific type of cross-dressing.
Oh. Okay. What specific type of cross dressing?
So there's in cross dressing, there's like all of these like little subcategories or things. So there's like ones that want to look like a boy in a dress. There's ones that want to look like a real girl. There's ones that want to look glam. There's ones that want to look sissy, which is almost a parody of a
like
of
extreme a female femininity.
Yes, but okay. It's often like a kind of like a little girlish look, not to do with pedophilia or anything.
Right,
it's
children.
A different thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it'd be like almost like a, think of how you would dress up like a little doll.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be dressed like that.
Okay.
And so there's all sorts of different styles.
Wow. All right. So even that many variations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I only get to know the real world out there when I talk to you.
Oh, that's nice.
And
good.
Figure out what people are actually doing rather than just reading about it.
It's amazing.
So interesting. So always fascinating talking with you guys. We've run out of time, but we will catch up with you in August. And hopefully, Pierre, you won't be called out to work and we'll be able to.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about this. This is
no problem. Never worry about that. We had you anyway, so it's perfectly fine. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks to Dave Simon in Master Control. And thanks to all of you for tuning in, and thank you for those text messages. Coming up next, the news followed by the CJD Comedy Show. Have a great rest of the night, and please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.